Find the subject for our study tonight of the book of Hebrews, chapter 3 and verse 12. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. I had a reading of this text a few moments ago from verse 7 through verse 15 of the chapter. It's a section of text in which the writer of Hebrews, exhorting and admonishing those to whom he was writing to not to forsake the Lord, not to abandon him, not to apostatize. In Hebrews 3 and in verse 12, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." In departing from the living God. The lexicographers tell us that this word translated departing in the text means to forsake, to abandon, to leave behind, to fall away from, to apostatize. "Beware, brethren, lest there be in you an evil heart of unbelief in falling away from the living God, forsaking the living God, abandoning the living God, turning your back on the living God." In order for one to fall away from God, he first has to be with God or in fellowship with God. Like the individual we read about in Genesis 5 and in verse 22. Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. Enoch walked with God. He was in fellowship with God. He's in fellowship with God. He has the possibility of falling away, but he walked with God. He lived for him. All, when we're first born, when we come into this world, we're with God. We're in fellowship with God. In Matthew chapter 18, and in verse 3, Jesus said, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of God." Evidently, little children are of such nature and such disposition, that is, they're without sin, they're with God. They would be those who would be in the kingdom of God. And so, at the beginning, we're all, you might say, with God or in fellowship with God. But we cause ourselves to go away from God or fall away from God, go astray from God, of course, when we sin. Isaiah 53 and in verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, as the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." So being away from him is a result of simply going away from him. And this comes about, of course, because we sin against God. If we go away from God, the only way we can come back is turn back to him. In Acts 26 and in verse 20, Paul telling King Agrippa that after his conversion, he declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea, that is to the Jews, and then to the Gentiles that they should repent, note this, turn to God, that is turn back to God and do works befitting repentance. So they had gone away from God. They had forsaken God. They had abandoned God. They had apostatized. And now they're to turn back to God, doing works befitting of repentance. As I said, sin is what causes people to fall away from God. Sin is what causes people to forsake God, to leave God. Isaiah 59 and verse 2, "Your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." I want to consider this subject with you tonight of departing from the living God, forsaking God, turning your back on him, falling away from him. There's great danger in departing from God. Those who are in the kingdom of God, those who have undergone a baptism brought about by the inspired word of God and their obedience to it, can depart from the living God. Those to whom we read about in Hebrews chapter 3 and in verse 12 were brethren. They were those in Christ. They were admonished not to depart, forsake, or fall away from God. John 3 and in verse 5, Jesus said, "Most assuredly I say it to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." When we're born of water, that is the water of baptism, and the Spirit-inspired word of God teaches us what we must do to become a Christian, to come into fellowship with God, come into a relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. When we do that, we're with God, but we can fall away from God, even in the kingdom of God. as saints in the kingdom. Matthew 13 in verse 41, Jesus said, "The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth." So people in the kingdom will be gathered out of the kingdom. Why? Because they've fallen away from God. They've forsaken God. They've turned their back on him. People may forget God and simply be lost. Jeremiah 2 and in verse 32, "Can a virgin forget her ornaments?" God said through the prophet Jeremiah, "or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number." Have you forgotten God? The psalmist said in Psalm 9 and verse 17, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." It's better to never have known the truth of God's will for one's life than actually having known it and then turn from it. You're in a worse state or a worse condition. Peter said in 2 Peter 2 and in verse 20, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they're again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it," note this, "to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them." So the danger of departing is that you can know the truth and turn from it. You'll be lost. And to know the truth and to turn from it is worse than never having known the truth to begin with. Paul said that some in his day would even depart from the truth, as he told the young evangelist Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1. "Now the Spirit expressly says," that is, says in no uncertain terms, "that in the latter times some will depart from the faith." The latter times was the last days of the Jewish dispensation. During that time period of these people then living, some would depart from the faith. They depart from the gospel. When they depart from the faith, when they depart from the gospel, they depart from God. They forsake God. They turn their back on him. As a matter of fact, Paul said that some had already fallen from God. That is, fallen from the grace of God. Galatians 5 and in verse 4, "You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace." Of course, he has those Judaizing teachers that we've been talking about lately, and man, they had fallen from the grace of God because they sought to be justified by keeping the works of the law of Moses. And those who followed their false teaching and error also fell away from the grace of God. That is, they abandoned God, they forsook God. But God's going to treat every man the same. He's unbiased, he's even-handed, he treats every man exactly alike. In Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 21, God said, "But if a wicked man," note this, "turns from all of his sins which he has committed, and keeps all my statutes and does what is lawful and right, he shall live, he shall not die. None of the transgressions which he has committed shall be remembered against him. Because of the righteousness which he has done, he shall live." So when a wicked man turns from his sins, when he turns from his wicked ways and turns back to God, even all of his transgressions will no longer be remembered before God, because of the righteousness of turning back to God. But no. "Do I have any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, says the Lord God, and not that he should turn from his ways and live? But when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity and does according to all the abominations that the wicked man does, he shall live," or shall he live, excuse me. "All the righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered because of the unfaithfulness of which he is guilty and the sin which he has committed. Because of them he shall die. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not fair. Hear now, O house of Israel. Is it not my ways which is fair and your ways which are not fair?" Yes, God is unbiased. He's even-handed. He's going to treat every man alike. When you turn from your sins and turn back to God, he will bless you. When you turn away from him, when you forsake him, when you abandon him, he will abandon you. There's a great number of reasons why one might depart, forsake God, turn their back on Him, fall away. I want to just note a few of those with you tonight. We've already mentioned one of those, and that is the influence of religious teachers or religious leaders. The admonition is often given in the New Testament regarding the fact that Christians need to beware of those who are teaching false doctrine. In Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 14, Paul said to the church at Ephesus that they should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, as he warns them against false doctrine, false teachers. To the church at Colossae in Colossians chapter 2 and in verse 20, he said, therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourself to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. So the influence of religious leaders is very strong, and we're often admonished throughout the Scripture to beware of religious leaders, those teachers who will teach us things and cause us to fall away from God. Many people have fallen away from God because of the influence of others who said they were preaching and teaching the truth.
Amen.
I always try to preach and teach the truth. Amen. But what you should do is you should take the Word of God and you should verify for yourself if I have taught the truth. Don't let me influence you into going away into error. Even the saints that in the churches of Galatia had been taken off into error by the Judaizing teachers. Galatians 1 and verse 6. Paul said, I marvel that you're turning away so soon from him who calls you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Many in the churches of Galatia had been taken away by the Judaizing teachers, and we saw earlier in Galatians chapter 5 that some had even fallen away from God. They had forsaken God, they had abandoned God, they had fallen from the grace of God. The influence of religious leaders was one of the causes for Israel's fall. One of the reasons why they forsook God and turned their back on Him. Isaiah 9 and verse 16. For the leaders of this people cause them to err, that is to go astray. And those who are led by them are destroyed. So one of the reasons for departing or forsaking or turning our back on God is because of the influence of religious leaders. Another reason for forsaking or abandoning God is our overabundance of self-confidence. Sometimes we think we can't fall. We think we're so strong spiritually that we'll just not fall away from God. We'll not forsake Him. We'll not turn our back on Him. So an overabundance of self-confidence is a reason some fall. Proverbs 28 and verse 26, the wise man said, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool. When one begins to trust in his own heart, he is a fool. He has self-confidence in himself and himself alone, and he doesn't realize he can fall away from God. That was Simon Peter's problem in Luke 22 and in verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. But he said to him, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. He was very self-confident in his position with the Lord. Overabundantly self-confident. He didn't think he could fall. He was willing to go to his death. I'm sure the other apostles were of the same attitude and disposition, but on the night in which Jesus was betrayed into the hands of the enemies, all forsook him, all fled. Mark 14 and verse 27, then Jesus said to them, All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter said to him, even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be. Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. But he spoke vehemently, if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And they all said likewise. They were self-confident in their position with Christ. They simply did not think they could fall away. They needed to take heed, because Jesus was warning them that that's exactly what was going to happen. Another reason for departing from God, forsaking God, falling away, is simply the love of money for many. The love of money. In Matthew 6 and in verse 24, Jesus warned, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and wealth and riches and possessions. Either you're going to serve one or the other. Which is it going to be? Wealth, riches, and possessions, or God? Many people fall away from God because of riches, because of money, because of wealth. Because they covet. They have such a desire and an aim and intent and goal to become richer and richer. It's greediness on their part. 1 Timothy 6 and in verse 9. Paul said to Timothy, but those who desire to be rich fall in temptation. Those who desire. Those who have an aim to be rich. I guess you might say, well, all desire to be richer than what we are. But some people have an aim. That's their, you might say, their intention in life is to become rich. But those who desire, have an aim to be rich, fall into temptation and a snare. That is, into a trap. They entrap themselves. And into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. For which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Some had already fallen away from God. They brought great sorrow, great grief upon their soul because of their love and desire for money, because of their greediness and covetousness for gain. Remember Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5? They brought great grief to their soul indeed. They were both put to death because of their covetous and greedy attitude and disposition of heart. Another reason for departing or falling away from God is the effects that prosperity have upon us. You know, we live in a country of great prosperity, and that might be one of the reasons why there's not as many here tonight as they could be. Because when people live in periods of great prosperity, they feel no need for God in their life. They think they have everything that they need, everything that can satisfy them. And so there's no need. There's no seeking after a better life because their life is so good, with a great prosperity that they enjoy in this country. Now you go to some of the eastern countries that don't enjoy the kind of prosperity that we have, and many people are obeying the gospel. Even in the Philippines. Because they don't enjoy the kind of prosperity that we enjoy in this country. They feel need in their life. But we have great prosperity and our pews are empty. People are not obeying the gospel. And so one of the reasons people fall away after becoming Christians, one of the reasons they turn their back and forsake God, is because they become very prosperous in life. In Deuteronomy 8 and in verse 11, God warned the nation of Israel about this very thing. He said, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments, His judgments, and His statutes, which I command you today. Lest, when you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you up out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You see, when they enjoyed great prosperity, what are they going to do? They're going to forget the Lord who brought them out of Egyptian bondage. When we enjoy great prosperity, the possibility of us forgetting our Lord, turning our back on God, forsaking Him, and not remembering that He brought us up out of the land of bondage of sin. So the effects of prosperity in our life causes us sometimes to simply forget God, turn our backs on Him. Hosea 13 and verse 6. We saw in this text that God warned them about the prosperity to make them fall away. Well, the prophet Hosea said that that's exactly what they did. Hosea 13 and verse 6. When they had pasture, they were filled. They were filled and their hearts was exalted. Therefore, they forgot me, God says. They forgot me. Because of the prosperity that they enjoyed in the land of Canaan, they simply forgot God. Another reason some forsake God, turn their back on Him, fall away, apostatize, is because they have a greater love for the world than they do for God. A love for the world. In 1 John 2 and in verse 15, do not love the world or the things in the world. Note this, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You can't love God and love the world at the same time. If you love the world, you have no love for God the Father. It's either one or the other. You're going to love the world, and the world under consideration is not the rocks and the hills and the trees. The world under consideration is everything, you might say an aggregate of all things ungodly. An aggregate of all things that are contrary to the will of God. When you love those things, you simply do not love God. Demas is one of those who evidently fell away from God because of that. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10. For Demas has forsaken me, there's the word, forsaken, abandoned, deserted me, having loved this present world and has departed for Thessalonica. If Demas had forsaken Paul, evidently he had forsaken God because he loved this present world or the present age in which he lived. So love for the world has caused many to fall away. Could be one of the reasons why the church pews are empty, because people love what the world has to offer than what the church has to offer or what God has to offer. Another reason why some depart from God is because of the power of persecution upon them. Persecution is a very powerful influence. That is, it can cause people to do some things that will cause them to lose their soul, such as falling away from God. Matthew 13 and verse 20. But he who received the seed on stony places, remember this is the parable of the sower, some seed fell on stony places. This is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures or perseveres only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. He stumbles, he falls. He falls away from God. You see the power of persecution? One becomes a Christian. He's overjoyed with being a Christian. But then persecution comes. And persecution affects him in such a way that he just falls away from God altogether. Some people had rather be lost in sin. Some people would rather lose their soul and be persecuted in this life. That's just how powerful persecution is. In Galatians chapter 6 and in verse 12, we read of some of that nature. Galatians 6 and verse 12. As many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, that would be Judaizing teachers, these would compel you to be circumcised. Note this. Only that, or so that, or in order that, they may not suffer persecution for the cause of Christ. Why would they compel one to be circumcised? That is a Gentile in order to be saved. Because they themselves do not want to be persecuted by other Judaizing teachers. So they're going to cause people to do that which is contrary to the teaching of the Word of God. The power of persecution that was actually foretold by Christ in Matthew chapter 24, in the chapter regarding the destruction of Jerusalem, where Jesus said, "And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold, but he who endures or perseveres to the end will be saved." You know, we don't have a lot of persecution today. You might say persecution in this world, that is in this country in which we live, is perhaps not the thing that is causing people to fall away. But sometimes people are persecuted, and because of that, they will fall away. Perhaps another reason why people fall away from God, depart from God, turn their back on God, is the fear of simply displeasing men. This would be true more so in our own day and time than the power of persecution causing people to fall away. The fear of displeasing men. Paul said in Galatians 1 and verse 10, "For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant or slave of Jesus Christ." People want to please men, and the fear of displeasing men will cause them to fall away. They want people to look up to them. They want people to think well of them. They do not want to displease men. As a matter of fact, the first king of Israel said that this was one of the reasons that he disobeyed. 1 Samuel 15 in verse 24, remember God had told Saul to go and to utterly destroy the Amalekites or Amalekites. Then Saul said to Samuel, "I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your word, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice." He didn't want to displease the people, he said. "So I sinned. I violated a commandment of God. I disobeyed him and disobeyed your word that he gave you to give to me." So the fear of displeasing men causes some people to fall away. Another reason some people fall away, abandon God, forsake God, is they simply seek good through evil. Seeking good through evil. That is, it's like those we spoke about this morning. Well, the Bible does not say not to. And so they engage in all kind of religious practice that is unauthorized. But they say, well, the end justifies the means. The end justifies the means. Another way of saying, well, let us do evil that good may come. But Paul condemned such, did he not? Romans 3 and verse 7. "For if the truth of God has increased through my lie to his glory, why am I still judged as a sinner? And why not say, let us do evil that good may come? As we are slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, their condemnation is just." Paul said their condemnation is just if that is so. Let us do evil that good may come. We should do no evil that good may come. The end does not justify the means. We saw that in an example this morning with Nadab and Abihu. They sought to worship God. Is worshiping God wrong? No. To worship God is good. But we should worship God according to spirit and truth. John 4, 24. Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer, put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane or strange or unauthorized fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy, and before all the people, I must be glorified." So Aaron held his peace. They were seeking to do good. Does the end justify the means? They did that which was unauthorized. So some fall away from God. They forsake God. They turn their back on him, seeking good through the evil that they're doing, engaging in unauthorized practice. Another reason some fall away from God depart from God, turn their back on Him, is they simply try to help Him out of some difficulty. Can you imagine that? People trying to help the Lord, help God out of some difficulty? They think God's plan, perhaps, is inadequate and they need to help Him some way. People do that in regard to salvation today. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, Mark 15:16. But they say that God needs some help in His plan of salvation. One doesn't need to be baptized. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Well, let's clarify what God meant. Let's help God out of this dilemma. Salvation is simply based upon faith and not obedience or baptism or anything else. And then some will say, no, it's all based upon the grace or favor of God. Man doesn't need to do anything, not even believe. As a matter of fact, he can't believe because he's totally depraved. So they help God out of a dilemma that they think God is in. So some depart from God trying to help Him out of difficulties. We have an example of this, 2 Samuel 6 and verse 6 and following, where, remember, David is moving the Ark of the Covenant to the city of Jerusalem. And when they came to Nashon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to the Ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. Now, was Uzzah not doing a good thing? The Ark of the Covenant is on the cart, and the oxen stumble, and perhaps he thinks the Ark of the Covenant is going to fall off the cart, be damaged, and so he puts out his hand to steady it. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error, and he died there by the Ark of God. Evidently, he thought God needed some help. So people fall away from God, forsake God, turn their back on God, because they think He needs some help. He doesn't need our help. We're the one in need of His help. Amen. We need to remember that. Another reason some depart from God is simply because of the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is very deceptive. Sin is so deceptive, it will cause people to sin, and they don't recognize it as sin. We have a lot of people in the world like that today. They sin, but they don't see it as sin. They're living with someone, engaging in a sexual relationship with someone whom they're not married to. They just continue to live with one another. They don't see it as sin. It is so deceptive. What could be wrong with it, they say? All sorts of things of immoral behavior carried on because they simply do not see it as sin. One of the reasons that may be so is because we don't condemn sin like we once condemned sin. We act as if it is just normal, that it's just okay. It's part of life. Everyone engages in it, everyone does it. So that which is actually sin and contrary to the will of God is just accepted. It's just accepted. That's just the way it is. It's so deceptive, so deceitful. Hebrews 3 and in verse 13 in our context, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Through the deceptive nature of sin, you can become hardened. You can become stubborn, rebellious, and obstinate. That's what that word hardened there means. Just as the people of Israel did. When they rebelled against God, they were stubborn and rebellious and rebelled against Him and would not enter into the land of promise. As a matter of fact, sin is so deceptive that Paul himself at one time, because when all sin, all have been deceived somehow by sin. Paul himself said he was deceived by sin. Romans 7 and verse 11. For sin taking occasion by the commandment, that is by the law of Moses, deceived me and by it killed me. That is brought about my spiritual death. sin deceived me. So some fall away from God because of the deceptiveness of sin, the deceitfulness. It is so deceptive, and it leads people away.
Yeah.
Well, let's note the results of departing from God, falling away from God, abandoning God, forsaking God. What's the result? Well, what was the result for old Israel when they forsook God because of the great prosperity that they enjoyed? What was the result for Israel when they forsook God, turned their back on Him, when they became hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, became rebellious and stubborn and obstinate, and would not enter into the land of Canaan? What was the result? Well, Hebrews 3 and in verse 10 and following. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. They did not enter the land of rest. They did not enter the land of promise that God had promised them. It kept them out of the land of promise. That's what departing from God will do. It'll keep you out of the land of promise. Kept Israel out of their land of promise. It will keep us out of our land of promise. Keep us out of heaven. Hebrews 4 and in verse 1. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to come short of it. Verse 11 of Hebrews 4. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Let's not fall away from God. It's easy to drift away from God and fall away, turn our back on Him. We do it gradually. And sometime a gradual fall ends up in a great fall. It's just a little bit at a time that we fall away. We seem to be slack in our obedience. Just each day that rolls along, we get a little slacker and a little slacker. We get a little slacker in our attendance, a little slacker in our giving, a little slacker in our kindness, a little slacker in this and a little slacker in that. We drift away from God gradually. And before you know it, we have fallen away from Him. We've deserted Him. We've turned our back on Him. We must stay faithful to the Word of God and keep ourselves from falling away from God. The lesson is yours. I hope it will be of some profit to you in the days ahead. If you're here this evening and you're not a Christian, our desire is that you would become one through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism for the remission of sins. If you're a child of God and you have sin in your life, we encourage you, repent of that sin, confess that sin. We'll pray with you and for you as we stand and sing the song.